Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Bates with you for the Breakfast Bite on this Wednesday morning, November 13 of 2019. A bit of live sport happening last night too, which was good on the couch. The cricket continued as Australia A crumbled against Pakistan. Not many players doing their test chances much good, including Joe Burns off the very first ball of the innings.
Imran Khan. Straight through. And Joe Burns, first ball duck.
Goal of duck for Joe Burns, 122 Australia A out for. Cam Bancroft, the only shining light in a pretty dismal batting performance. Meanwhile, the Matildas played last night, the second of their friendly matches against Chile, and it was a 1-0 victory.
Turned over to Kerr. Look at that pass for Gilnick. Oh, and she sliced it in. Off the defender, perhaps, but Emily Gilnick celebrates. The Bayern Munich attacker on target for Australia midway through the first half.
Audio there, courtesy of Fox Sports. Plenty to come on. A pretty busy edition of The Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget the Breakfast Club returns after 6 this morning. Half Whitey and Sherelle will be on your radio. Lots to get through as well. We'll chat to Neil Robertson, who's one of our favourites. He's a snooker player over there in the UK, Australia's best ever, and he's just won the Champion of Champions tournament in what he described as his best ever performance, and he pockets a cool $500,000 as well. Nice collect for him over the weekend. We'll catch up with a few trainers for the early mail. Try to get your winner on this Wednesday. Scott Jamieson returns. The Melbourne City captain will be in the Summer Sanctum. First edition of the Summer Sanctum this morning. Very much looking forward to Jamo being in. Sam Doherty, speaking of Sanctum members, he's one of our inner Sanctum members in footy season. He'll jump on the line to talk about his trip to the US and how a bit of extra rehabilitation for that knee went over in the States. Daniel Mott, potential draftee at about 10 to 8. Alex Pledger will join us from Melbourne United, as well as the third edition of the Throwdown looms large. And Scotty McLaughlin, Supercars champion for the second year running. Well, he wasn't entirely thrilled on the weekend with his performance at Sandown, so we'll hear from Scotty a little later on, before the end of the Breakfast Club. And then Racing Pulse, of course, with Michael Felgate, to be followed by Gareth Hall and RSN Central. Let's start, though, with the cricket. That is the main news story from yesterday. As you heard, Joe Burns going for a golden duck. It was a dismal batting performance for the Australian A team, all out for 122. Let's run you through the scorecard. Burns out for a golden duck. Harris 16, Khawaja 6, Head 13, Pekoski 5, Carey a duck, Nisa 2, Richardson zip, Abbott 2, and Riley Meredith was 19, not out. Actually looked okay at the end. Cam Bancroft was caught right at the end for 49 runs off 155 deliveries. He was the only one who was able to weather the Pakistan bowlers, led, of course, by Imran Khan. 5 for 32 he took. He was outstanding with the ball. 2 for 42 for Shah Afridi, and 2 for 6 for Ahmed, and 1 for 24 for Yasir Shah, who's always a threat as well. But the economy rates were right down, everyone going for less than 2.5 runs and over. So as well as running through the Australians, they were very economical as well. The Pakistan attack. They then batted for 3 overs, then none for 7. So currently leading the game by 313 runs with 10 wickets remaining. And maybe, just maybe, it's going to be a tougher start to the summer for the Australian team than perhaps many had predicted. We'll bring up to that with all the Shield scores in just a second. But before we get there, let's head to the Matildas from last night and another victory over Chile. That makes it 2 from 2. 1-0 last night to add to their 2-1 win over the weekend. So a nice little piece of form for the Matildas. They want to be peaking a little later on next or early next year. Alana Kennedy and Sam Kerr spoke after the match. We'll start with Sam Kerr. She did miss a penalty last night. It's a couple in a row now from the spot that she's put wide or over the bar. This is what she had to say, asked about that on Fox Sports.
The support was amazing, and we're so lucky we've been supported all over Australia, and the girls deserve it, and we're grateful for all the support.
The penalty missed just before half-time. Didn't look like it affected you too much. Came out, nearly scored within 5 minutes.
Yeah, look, you got to pick yourself back up, and we had to win the game, and it was an important win for us and a good starting point. So can't dwell on things, to be honest, and that's football. It happens, but, yeah, something I've got to practice.
Two wins in the two games. I sense there's a little bit of frustration. How do you sort of sum up the last 4 or 5 days?
Yeah, obviously first camp back, there's a few cobwebs, but the girls are just getting back together, and come January we'll be flying, and we're happy with the two wins and clean sheet tonight, most important.
There we go. Sam Kerr on Fox Sports last night. We'll also hear from Ante Milicic, the coach, a little later on that Sam Kerr missed was pretty decisive in the press conference afterwards. We'll hear from him later in the Breakfast Bite. Let's head to the Shield action from yesterday, and there was plenty going on all over Australia. We'll start with Steve Smith, who racked up another century. This is how he brought it up.
Randwick in again, bowls a short ball on the middle stump. Smith pulls it out to square leg. Man running around to cut it off, doesn't cut it off. It's into the rope for four, and that's another Sheffield Shield 100 to Steve Smith.
Yeah, the commentator, not that excited because it seems like he does it every second day, Steve Smith. Another ton at Shield level, 103. He was caught behind with the keeper standing up to the stumps off the top edge, almost trying that periscope shot that we saw the other night in the T20 arena. So he wasn't happy with that. Didn't think he got anything on it. New South Wales, 8 for 444 declared at stumps on day two. WA in reply, 1 for 85. Let's take you through a couple of the numbers here. Stoinis took 2 for 59, O'Connor 2 for 77, Darcy Short 2 for 39, and a wicket each for Kelly and Guthrie. As you heard, Steve Smith made 103. Moses Henriques made 91. It was a quick fire 91 to really propel them towards 400. Pat Cummins also showing a bit of form with the bat. He made 52 from 64 deliveries. His first half century for New South Wales as well. In the reply, as I said, WA 1 for 85. Darcy Short and Shaun Marsh, they're not out batsmen at the crease. Short is 39 not out. Shaun Marsh is 25 not out. And Shaun Marsh would have a chance to press his test claims if he was to go big here in the WA first innings. Josh Felipe, the only man out, bowled by Mitchell Stark for 15. Stark, the only wicket taker, with 1 for 20. Cummins, Hazelwood and Lyon yet to register a wicket along with Steve O'Keefe. So it's not a bad attack, that. Cummins, Hazelwood, Lyon and Stark. Good luck to the WA batsmen today, although they have made a good start, trailing by 359 runs with 9 wickets remaining in the first innings. Let's head to Victoria now. Good news for the Victorians. A couple of debutants combining for Will Sutherland's first ever wicket at Shield level.
So Sutherland again coming in from the members end. He's bowling to Street, who drives this in the air. It's been caught! Fraser McGurk takes the catch and Sutherland has his first wicket in Sheffield Shield cricket. And it's the debutant, the two of them combining with Fraser McGurk taking the catch, Sutherland taking the wicket.
Nice to hear Whitey slightly more excited than the New South Wales commentators. So good start for Victoria on day one. Queensland dismissed for 183. So the pitch must have been doing a little bit there. We'll find out more about that with Whitey on the Breakfast Club later on this morning. Big news with Labuschagne making it. I think it was an 18-ball or 28-ball, rather, duck yesterday. So he didn't add to his good form over this summer. Renshaw made 24 at the top of the innings. Hemphrey was the best batsman with 64 from 130, but the Vicks were able to run through them pretty easily. Siddle took 3 for 30 from 17 overs. Great economy rate as per usual. 2 for 48 for James Pattinson. 2 for 33 for Will Sutherland on debut, and John Holland chiming in with 3 wickets, 3 for 29. So a good all-round bowling performance from the Victorians at stumps. They are none for 5 in reply. A bit of rain at the end of the day forced them off. Short not out 1 and Vines not out 4, who got off the mark with a beautiful cover drive. So that's how things stand at the end of day 1 there at the MCG. Victoria trailing by 178 runs with 10 wickets in the bank in the first innings. To the third of the Shield games, it's South Australia taking on Tasmania over at the Adelaide Oval. South Australia declaring at 6 for 490. And Matthew Wade, again the star.
Definitely a bit of room around the corner. And Wade will take it there. Little lap sweep. Great shot at the stumps, but it can't prevent the single, and Matty Wade will go through to his 45th first-class 50. Third on the bounce in this Marsh Sheffield Shield competition.
Very solid in reply. Matthew Wade, 53 not out. Alex Doolan, 87 not out. 2 for 176. Tasmania at stumps, trailing by 314 runs with 8 wickets remaining. But nice to see Matty Wade doing well. He surely is a lock for that opening test match. 53 not out at the crease. He can go big this afternoon over in South Australia. Many and Agar, the only wicket takers so far. Where's Agar? Has bowled 11 overs for just 6 runs. 1 for 6 he has from 11. So very economical over there in South Australia. We'll hear a little bit more from Steve Smith and all from the New South Wales game and also Cam Bancroft from the Australia A game later on in the Breakfast Bite. Let's head now to a little bit of tennis from overnight. It is the ATP Tour Finals over in London. Roger Federer adding another win to his account. He's been doing it for a long, long time now.
Federer gets his campaign here in London up and running with his first victory of the week.
7-6, 6-3.
Played a really good first set tiebreak, struck early in the second set, so a little bit of a wobble on serve in the latter stages, but overall he'll be delighted with that. A 58th victory.
Yeah, 58 wins over in London. It's an extraordinary record. 7-6, 6-3 over Berrettini. He did lose earlier in the week, Roger Federer, to Dominic Thiem, so good to see him get back on track. He spoke about that on the court afterwards.
Yeah, it's unusual to lose and then come back and play again, but I did it last year, so I got some experience, but now I'm very happy how I played today. Matteo was always going to be difficult with the big serve. If you don't get the read and you don't get the balls back the way you're hoping to, you're going to be in trouble. And he was doing a really nice job in that first set. I think the beginning of the second obviously was key to get that break and then fend off those break points and get the win. I was pretty clean on my own service games. I think that helped today, and I hope I can keep it up and maybe hopefully play a bit better in the next match.
As you say, it's a very unusual scenario with group stage events. How were you able to pick yourself up mentally after that loss in that first match to Thiem?
Well, there's no reason to be too down on yourself. We came here to play 3 matches and give it all we have. It was the big goal of the season to come here and qualify, which we did. So, plus, I had a day off. I mean, there's plenty of ways to get rid of that loss. Just hang out with your kids will do that for me. So that's what we did, and had a good time as a team, and just got ready for today. Not try to think about it too much. Actually, take the positives out of that first match against Dominic. I thought not everything was bad, but of course, if you overanalyze it, all of a sudden it can be. And you know, I was ready, I was prepared today, and that's what matters the most right now.
Time for a break at 12 to 6 on your Wednesday morning. After this, we'll catch up, as I mentioned, with Cam Bancroft and Steve Smith after the Australia A game and the New South Wales Shield match, respectively. We'll hear a bit of NBL and the build-up to another version of the Throwdown, some racing news, boxing, and a bit of NRL floating around as well.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
Capella had two back-to-back 20-point rebound games last season as Harden hits the three.
It will go, plus the foul on Hart.
NBA action from yesterday. The Rockets there over the Pelicans, 122-116. Some of the other results: Timberwolves beat the Pistons, Grizzlies over the Spurs, Celtics beat the Mavs, Clippers over the Raptors, and the Jazz beat the Warriors. So they are the results from yesterday in the NBA. A couple of games to come today. Interesting to see if Ben Simmons will make his return for the 76ers, although it does look like he might be sitting on the sidelines again with that shoulder injury. In terms of the NFL too, just one game yesterday, the Seahawks in overtime, 27 points to 24 over the 49ers. So that was the only result from yesterday, week 11 or round 11 to start on Friday morning Australian time. Let's head to a bit of racing. We'll start with Tony McAvoy here, who spoke about Hey Doc going to the Kevin Heffernan Stakes on Saturday.
Yeah, look, he loved his morning out here. He was very stimulated by coming out here, the big fella, and Luke was really pleased with him. He said he galloped beautifully, felt strong, and he's in good order. Pulled up sore out of the Bobby Lewis, and then when we investigated, he had a chip in a joint. So he had joint surgery and and we took our time with him. He's a bit of an older horse now, so we took our time, but he's come back magnificent. He's got confidence in his action, and he's very happy to be back, I can assure you, and I'm very happy to have him back. He's a big horse, and we've had a nice long prep with him to try and have him ready. So, look, been off the scene for a year, and the size of him, he'll possibly be a bit vulnerable Saturday, but he's not far off, and I think he'll run a really competitive race. Look, if he returns really well, we'll go to the Winterbottom. That's sort of been a bit of a plan, but it'll all come back to how he returns and how he recovers, and if I think he's ready to take on a task like that second up.
Tony McAvoy speaking. Yes, so let's head to the NBL now, where Dean Vickerman spoke about the improvement in Melbourne United ahead of another version of the Throwdown.
Yeah, I hope that we improved in, you know, a lot of areas. We're pretty balanced review again today about the spacing that we can still get better at, trying to find better advantages on the floor than we did, but there were some great effort levels. You know, our second chance points and our offensive rebounding have been something over those four games that we certainly beat our opponents in. It was a tough schedule early on and a lot of injuries. So, you know, again, we're still just trying to get this team healthy. And, you know, we've finally got two games in a row that we've had our full roster. You know, Casey was still on restricted minutes, and hopefully we continue to build his minutes as time goes along and his positioning on the floor. But they're growing as a group and getting better.
Dean Vickerman there speaking yesterday ahead of another edition of the Throwdown against Southeast Melbourne Phoenix on Saturday. Looking forward, Southeast Melbourne Phoenix are going to join us in the Summer Sanctum tomorrow, just about the start-up of what has been so far a successful NBL franchise. Looking forward to that tomorrow on the Breakfast Club. Let's head to a little bit of boxing now with Barry Hall responding to Paul Gallen calling him soft, only wanting 2-minute rounds instead of 3-minute rounds.
I don't know what he's talking about. He's obviously quite tough, but he's not that intelligent. So he's had 3 or 4 fights that are 2-minute rounds. So are they real fights? Are they on his record? They sure are. Look, in reality for me, I've come off the couch to do this. 7 weeks preparation, come off the couch because people want to see this fight. He's just stepped out of rugby league professional sport a month ago. I haven't played professional sport for 7 years. He wants a big payday, which he's getting. Don't sook up about terms and the agreement that it took for me to get in the ring, because as I said, limited preparation, I would have wanted more time, and we could have maybe negotiated time of rounds and how many and all those sorts of things. There was a negotiation in terms of the date. The date was set. I had 7 weeks to prepare off the couch at 42 years of age. What do you want? He's getting fired up about, I haven't done anything for this promotion and all that sort of thing. And, you know, I don't know whether it's, I know you need a bit of ego and, you know, to make it to the highest level in sport. But I don't know whether it's ego or arrogance. I think it might be the latter at this stage. I think he's quite arrogant. And, you know, some of the things he's saying, and, you know, I've been very respectful. But, you know, he's been like that in the past, and I've seen other opponents where he's done that to them. And, you know, he's put up and, you know, he's talked the talk, but he's walked the walk. So we're going to see Friday night if he's going to walk the walk and match his talk.
Barry Hall there speaking ahead of his fight against Paul Gallen. Will you be tuning in? Let us know. 0416 90 50 52. To the Matildas last night, as I mentioned earlier in the Breakfast Bite, 2-1 victory over Chile on the weekend. They added to that last night with a 1-0 win, a clean sheet. Emily Gilnick getting on the score sheet. Sam Kerr didn't. She missed a penalty. And Ante Milicic, the coach, was asked about that post-match.
Sam can take the next one.
It's just
us,
because she's now missed
3 in a row, 4 in a row. Sam is confident. She's the captain. If she wants to take it, she can take it. And unless she makes that decision otherwise, she'll let me know. But to be honest, it becomes a feeling thing during the game, how she feels. And, you know, she's a player that I'm sure will want to step up again.
1-0 for the Matildas last night could have been doubled if Kerr had nailed it from the penalty spot, but a good performance nonetheless. To Pakistan and Australia A, in case you missed it and you're just waking up, because play only finished about 11 o'clock last night. Pakistan 428 and none for 7. That is because they bowled Australia A out for 122. Cam Bancroft was the only man who stuck around. He made 49, clearly the best of the batsmen. This is what he had to say post day's play.
Yeah, I think it's something that I like to think to strengthen my game and when it's needed. So today was one of those days, and it was tough work out there.
Do you sense that knock will mean much in the scheme of the first test coming up and spots obviously up for grabs and just being able to hang in there when other guys are obviously not taking the chance?
Oh, I would have no idea, probably not. It probably changes on a daily basis, doesn't it? So, deep down, everyone wants to play, don't they? So, we'll just wait and see, and I'm sure the people that, at the end of the day are walking out there to play will be trying to do their best for Australia, and that's all you can do, really.
How do you explain losing 6 for 13 on a deck where it didn't seem to seam around much and didn't seem to swing outrageously? It's just a good, solid day at first-class cricket, it appeared.
Yeah.
Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think they, in particular their quips, I think they probably held better line and lengths for periods of time that made it challenging out there, and they definitely reaped rewards for bowling well. I'm sure some guys would be disappointed, probably had a bit more control of their destiny a little bit in their innings. So there's a mixture of both out there, but I thought their two seams bowled pretty nicely, and they were able to put the balls in the right areas, ask questions, and it always makes batting difficult.
Cam Bancroft, one of the only Aussies to stand up yesterday for the Australian A side. It was pretty dismal reading down the scorecard with not many of them making double figures. That's it. That'll be dissected a little more on the Breakfast Club throughout the morning. Half Whitey and Sherelle up after the 6 o'clock news. Enjoy your Wednesday. We'll chat again tomorrow.